So the text for this evening's meditation is from Luke chapter 1, these words, "For he has looked on the humble estate of his servant." So our text, you may be seated. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the last question for our Advent midweek meditations for this year is a simple question, and that is, what do we do with humility? What do we do with humility? The Virgin Mary points out in our text that in choosing her to be the mother of Jesus, God had scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts, brought down the mighty from their thrones, and sent the rich empty away. Conversely, God exalted those of humble estate, filled the hungry with good things, and had done great things to Mary. So what do we do with humility? With humility. Our first reading from the prophet Isaiah noted that the one upon whom the Lord looks, that is, he favors and helps, is the one who's humble. It's the one who's contrite in spirit, trembles at the word of the Lord. That's what it says there. Our second reading from James contains a very easy to understand statement. God opposes, he opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And then also is this imperative, this command found there, humble yourself before the Lord, and he will exalt you. So what do we do with humility? Well, we seem to like it. We seem to like humility when we see it, when we experience it in other people. Those music shows, for example, American Idol, The Voice, America's Got Talent, seem to love to find the humble singer who out of nowhere knocks everyone out of their socks with an amazing voice. The humbleness of the singer being so much a part of the wow factor, the initial performance. But over time, as the season progresses, of course, what is usually discovered is a mother or dad, that performer who had a background in music, had been an opera singer at the Met, professional musician who toured with Fleetwood Mac or something like that. And there had been years of music lessons. And certainly a desire to succeed, to win, to be known, to be famous. Otherwise, they wouldn't be on the show. In other words, the humble singer did not just show up for an audition because someone heard them singing in a shower and said, "Hey, you know, you ought to try out for that show." Still, we like the idea. We like the idea of the humble singer coming out of nowhere to win a singing contest. When it comes to ourselves, however, there is this nagging idea that humility, true humility, can be a bit dangerous. Yeah, dangerous, for it leads to an action, that is, to bad self-perception, low self-esteem, and thus social isolation. Simply put, if we pursue humility, so this line of reasoning, we won't compete. And compete with those around us. And in not competing, we will not succeed at life and end up in poverty, disregarded by friends and family and left behind by society in general. Now, here we can think of that cartoon character, Charlie Brown, who we don't necessarily associate with humility, but we do associate him with bad self-perception. Charlie Brown, who can't throw a strike. Charlie Brown, who can't fly a kite. Charlie Brown, who can't use a fountain pen. Charlie Brown, who can't kick a football. And in general, can't do anything because, well, he is Charlie Brown, the kid who can't do anything. At least so he thinks. So continually he self-destructs. We can associate this line of thinking with humility. Now, lately there seems to be a rise of what would seem to be the opposite of humility, and that is narcissism. What is narcissism? Well, it's a word with a lot of S's. Here's a definition. the pursuit of gratification from vanity or egotistic admiration of one's idealized self-image and attributes. This includes self-flattery, perfectionism, and arrogance. Narcissism. Boy, that doesn't sound so good, does it? What could cause that? Some would say social media, with the continual usage of selfies, Snapchat, Twitter, other social media alerting the world of the wonderful life a given person is having 24/7, 7 days a week, 52 weeks a year. At last count, the pop singer Katy Perry had over 100 million people, 100 million people who were following her tweets, 100 million people waiting for her to say something, anything. I don't know if Katy Perry is a narcissist. What I do know is that narcissism seems to be the exact opposite of humility, of the humility we are encouraged to embrace by the holy word of God. But why? Why are we to be humble? Why humility? Well, humility, true humility, is a confession, an honest confession of where a person stands before God, our loving Heavenly Father. I mean, who are we in comparison to Him? Who are we? Sure, we can make stuff, but the world itself, could we create the world? Sure, we can do things, but could we oversee all of human history? Sure, we can help others, but can we help everyone, all of humanity, all at once, at the same time? In other words, all of what we say and do and think at any given time are simply poor imitations of what our Father in heaven accomplishes every moment of every day. Take, for instance, the finest painting of nature by the best of painters, someone like Michelangelo, to which we can thrill. And then compare that painting to nature itself. Even a photograph cannot capture perfectly the true beauty found there in nature, even out our front door here in Spring Lake Park. And when it comes to goodness, to love and care and concern and help and assistance, are we anywhere close to providing the love, care, concern, help and assistance that our Father in heaven provides day in, day out to all people everywhere? Not even close. Sure, we can train a dog to do amazing things, but we can't make the dog. We can train for a lifetime to perform incredible pieces of music, but we cannot make the minds that think of them, the hands and voices that perform them, or the ears that hear them. We can accomplish great feats of industry, but we cannot provide the raw materials needed to build even the simplest of houses. And yet it is very easy for us in narcissistic fashion to strut through our days, proclaiming all that we have done, what we've accomplished, what we are. But what are we? And what do we have that we have not received? What do we have that we have not received? If you want to take one thing home tonight, take that home, that question. What do we have that we have not received? That's right out of 1 Corinthians 4. In fact, we cannot name one thing. That is, some attribute, some capability, some capacity that we possess. We cannot name one thing that we have not received from our loving Heavenly Father as a gift. Yes, we can talk about our lack of righteousness here, our lack of holiness, and we should. For no one is righteous, we read in Scripture, not even one of us, so Romans 3. But we don't need to go there. That is a question of our righteousness when it comes to humility, for we can just look at ourselves, our capabilities, and our accomplishments. They literally pale in comparison to what our Father in heaven accomplishes in a millisecond throughout the world at any given moment. And on that basis alone, we should humble ourselves before our Father in heaven, saying along with the psalmist, Lord, what is man? What is man that you're mindful of, and the son of man that you care for him? Well, the psalmist answers his own question then. You made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. You made him ruler over the works of your hands and put everything under his feet, all flocks and herds, beasts of the field, birds of the air, the fish of the sea, all that swim in the paths of the sea. That's so Psalm 8. So that's our position, our place in the world according to creation. We've been created by God to be a little lower than the heavenly beings, but also been given authority over the creatures of the earth. Now that is something. Man is something. We are something. I mean, we are even created in the image of God. The angels were not, the animals were not, the birds were not, the fish were not, but we are. Man was created in the image of God. We are created in the image of God. But, we're not God. What's more, we're born as enemies of God. We're born in sin, by nature, bucking against, fighting, rebelling against our Creator. So yes, the tendency is to exalt ourselves. But when we do, we are denying that all that we have, all that we have received, we've received from God, our Heavenly Father. So let us repent. Repent of our arrogance, our pride, and humbly fall before Him, our Father in heaven, in heart and soul and mind, and acknowledge who we are, His creation, something He, in fact, made. Fallen, broken, malfunctioning daily. And then humbly receive one more thing which our Father in heaven would give to us as a free gift, and that is the forgiveness of our arrogance, the forgiveness of our pride, the forgiveness of our sin. Through faith in His Son, Jesus Christ, crucified for us and raised again from the dead for us, yet another gift, and still a third, as far as our righteousness is concerned. That's the Holy Spirit. The gift of the Holy Spirit to create in us a clean heart, a right spirit that daily lives in humility, acknowledging and embracing life as it is found. We read this in Romans 12. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed. Be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good, what's acceptable, perfect. By the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. Now, what does that mean practically? It means we live each day humbly, knowing in faith that all that we have received. And gratefully work at that which has been laid before us to do. Mary, the Virgin Mary's task was to give birth to the very Son of God, Jesus Christ, to raise Him until He should be baptized by John the Baptist and proclaim the coming of the kingdom of God until His crucifixion, which Mary herself would witness. Not one of us here was given that to do. For we've all been given different work, different places in life, different vocations, much like all the different positions of a football team, all of which are vital and none of which can be really a source of boasting or pride if the team is going to be successful. Of course, in Scripture, the talk there is not of football, but of a body which has all sorts of different members, members all of which are important, even though they play such different roles in the body, yet all are vital, aren't they? So where can be the boasting of the individual parts? Sure, the eye can see, but cannot hear. The ear can hear, but cannot speak. The mouth can speak, but cannot digest. And none of them, the eye, the ear, or mouth, can walk or think or sit. You get the point. Humility should flow from all mankind merely because it is a creation of God. Humility should flow from all mankind because it is sinful, in need of redemption, of saving, of rescue. Humility should flow from Christians, from you, from me, because we have been redeemed from sin. We have been redeemed from death by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and have been gifted with the Holy Spirit. And humility should be expressed by Christians, by you and by me, as we truly, like Mary, are servants of the living God. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. We rise and sing the canto.